The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through, and we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
You can stop the search for something intellectual and fulfilling. You've tuned into the Diary of a Bald Man. And there is no going back. Let the moaning, groaning, and bitching begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to Diary of Bald Man. This is Alan Wolford, your host for this series on Inside the Bald Man. I just wanted to wish everybody a happy new year. I hope it was a great start to you. You know, I hope that your anticipation of this year exceeds what you have for the past few years, that you not only meet but attain those goals. You know, we had some difficulties, everybody, you, myself, my family, our friends, our associates, with a variety of things in the past, probably 5 years, you know, past the pandemic and looking into the future. But, you know, let's start with a clean slate. Let's get going. And I want to thank you personally, you know, for everybody that's subscribed, that's wrote in since we started this, you know, add-on to the series Diary of a Bald Man, for any of your insights, your views, and your positions on how you feel this is going, especially with the voiceover team. Thank you for that. Thank you for taking that time and considering what you wanted to say and what you wanted to put out there. And I am grateful for you being here. Thank you for joining us again. So before we get going, Edith, how was your holiday season? I know with Christmas, we spoke just before the New Year's. How did your New Year's end up going? I know it was kind of busy with the boys. You said there was a lot going on.
It was hectic, but very enjoyable. The boys created their first TikTok video of the fireworks displays and of their grandfather trying out an old cooking style by laying the steaks directly on the coals. That was a very unique culinary experience, but one we'll definitely try again, but not with hamburgers for obvious reasons.
Well, that's pretty neat. I'll have to take a look at the video. I actually, back in the day, it's been years and years and years ago, I actually tried that one time where you cook directly on the coals, and, you know, it was pretty neat. I mean, I had a couple of issues because I forgot, you know, it had to be a certain color to the coal I was using before you laid the meat so it wouldn't really stick to it. And then when I pulled the meat off, I forgot to, you know, scrape off some of the residual materials from it. But I enjoyed it. It worked really good. I can understand the hamburger with the fat content. You'd have to use a leaner meat. But I also learned the hard way when you're using sausage and it starts boiling out, you know, the fats and stuff like that, that it can actually flare up. So I'm glad you guys got to see that. I like to see the video. So we'll talk about that later. So I'm getting ready for the show, guys and ladies and, you know, people that are of an undecided thing. I'm going to turn it over to Edith. Edith, if you would, please introduce today's show and we'll get started. And, you know, if you need to take a potty break, please blink twice.
Okay, everyone, if this is your first or even fourth time joining Inside the Bald Man, this series is a combination of interviews to get into the cranial vacuum of the show's host, Alan Wolford. Many of the questions presented in the majority of the previous and future shows are from our vast listening audience from Europe, Asia, the South Pacific, South America, and even here on the continental United States. Hell, even Canadians and 2 listeners in Antarctica have chimed in recently. Today's show was comprised of items, articles, social media posts, and other communication formats found by the Inside the Bald Man voiceover team. We are responsible for the formatting of the questions, but have nothing to do with any of Alan's responses. He owns that shit.
Oh, yeah. I definitely own that shit. That was a good way to intro the show. So, Edith, what is our very first question? I know none of these are from any of our listeners or subscribers. We didn't tell them about this until we were discussing it on the last show. And I know none of these were the AI generated. This is stuff that you and the team found to be of interest. So what is the very first question you've got?
This question came from my dad when we were talking about me co-hosting this and took a minute for him to decide on what would be a good opener. So the question he came up with is this: in your short time in life, what do you believe to be the number one thing that all women want?
Well, yeah, it's been relatively short, you know, with me turning 57 here on January 14th, you know, being in relationships relatively, it has been short. But my answer, final answer, that all women want is for their partner to be able to find the clitoris. Hands down, the clitoris.
You have got to be shitting me. That is the thing that you think that all women want.
Hey, don't get mad at me. You were part of the auditing process when we were thinking about this show, and we watched some of the old clips on Dr. Ruth and, you know, Katie and some of these others that talk about, you know, women's health and some of the things that happen. And you got to remember, one of the things that Dr. Ruth pointed out that was a problem with both sex education and things like that, you know, women would say, well, the sex is this, but he keeps missing the clitoris and he keeps doing this and, you know, not being able to stimulate me in the way that I stimulated him. Would she say, the reason they couldn't find it is there is no roadmap. Everybody has a different sensory point. And Dr. Ruth said the problem with men not being able to satisfy the women was the women were not communicating. Hey, touch here, rub here, lick here, bite here, do this. Tell me I'm fucking wrong.
Okay, you got me on that. I do remember that on three different recordings we reviewed, Dr. Ruth and others in the field did state that women need to communicate more because of being frustrated with partners. You would think that just being female, that the geography would be similar and that the same form of stimulation would work with everyone.
Okay, so see, you just added to the story. You, as a woman, just said that you would think that the geography would be the same with everyone. You know, and you got to remember, you've got people that are big boned, you got skinny, you've got people in the medium grade, so their geography is going to be spread out, or it's going to be compacted, or it's going to be aligned into a different way, and it's going to be different for everybody. You know, that's why you have some kinks where women like to be spanked, or guys, you know, and some can't stand to be tickled because it's painful. Basically, we do have the same geography, we do have the same anatomy, but different things for different people. You know, their environment creates so many different things. So let's get off the clitoris and, you know, misidentifying anatomy on a variety of people. And let's get into the very first question. Now that I've answered that and corrected you and, you know, we brought Dr. Ruth back into it. But for those listening, you know, one of the things we did find, and, you know, this can be backed up by Edith, if you're working about touch and sensory, look at schoolofsquirt.com. It sounds odd, but, you know, this is about what women want. And Andrew and Isabel Mayock have whole programs available where you can learn sensory, you know, manipulation through massage and communication and things like that. And again, it's called schoolofsquirt.com. They're not sponsoring this. They have nothing to do with it. It was just one of the things we found while researching this for this episode. And please give it a look. See if it helps you guys. All right, Edith, what do you got next? Let's get back in line.
Okay, I almost forgot about that site, but Daniel said that he and Amanda found it very helpful and beneficial for couples. So, Alan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think women care about? Your gym selfie? Your ability to fold a fitted sheet? Or your emotional availability?
Okay, my answers are going to be purely based off of people I actually know, like my sisters, my wife's sister-in-law, people that I've actually seen respond maybe to some of the similar things. So when you're talking about the gym selfie, I'm going to give that probably about an 8 or a 9. Because if women are looking that on Instagram, Facebook, things like that, then get a little bit of a level of your personal confidence in yourself. And if you're in the gym doing it, not just at home, not just outside with your friends, they're going to get some semblance of an idea about your physical fitness, you know. And, you know, the only downside is with filters and stuff, you got to be careful, or artificially intelligence enhanced images. So I'm going to say 8 to 9 on that, again, because they can see the level of confidence, what you're into, if you're smiling, if you're frowning, you know, things like that, a little bit of the background. Your ability to fold a fitted sheet. Now, since fitted sheets are the big thing now, you know, because people don't know how to make beds like they used to, it's cumbersome. The fitted sheet fits a little bit better. Showing your domestic capabilities, the fact that you can do laundry, the fact that you can put it together. I would say, depending on how that girl or woman or partner grew up, that would be a strong 10. Because can you take care of yourself? Can you take care of your personal effects? Do you have the ability to do domestic chores and things where you're going to be somebody that's going to assist and they don't have to be your mom or your dad and, you know, do your shit for you? Emotional availability is going to be a 10. You know, if you're with an introvert and you're an extrovert, things like that, you want somebody that, you know, they're not afraid to be sad with you, to show anger or happiness. You know, nobody wants to see anybody angry, and you worry about that flow through effect. But if you're emotionally available and you're open and you're honest, you know, you like things, you don't like things, that's going to give them a little bit more of a grounding, because you're giving your identity and sensitivity, or likes, dislikes to, you know, questions or incidents, you know, like certain events happening. They see you crying, you know, because, oh, it was a tearful thing. You know, it was supposed to pull your heartstrings, things like that. So, yeah, all good questions. Hey, what do you got next? That's my own personal view.
Not bad. Not bad at all. So when a woman asks, how does this look? Is there any answer that will save you, or are you already doomed?
No, you're not doomed at all. I don't even know why you'd think that. All she's looking for, in my opinion, is validation that the outfit or item that she's wearing looks good on her. So validate her. But be honest with her, too, and say, you'd look even better with nothing on. Yeah, don't bullshit. Say it.
Okay, I like that. It may not be his true feeling, but I like that you're validating her feelings and confidence in selecting that item or outfit. So let's get your view on this question. Why do you think women want you to guess what's wrong? And what's the most ridiculous guess you've ever come up with?
I'm going to start with the end first. So I think the most ridiculous question I ever came up with, and it's just from growing up with sisters, when someone would say, hey, you know, what's wrong? Things of that nature. I'd say, is it your period? You know, because the psychological, physiological impact of, you know, hormones and ovulation and things like that, you know, tend to cause a different amount of chaos in their lives. So, you know, I think when they want you to guess, it's to see if you know them as an individual. Things that make them happy, things that make them sad. And if you can pinpoint some of the areas that may be causing them strife or stress or things like that, it shows you're paying attention to their days, their likes, their dislikes. So I think if you guess, even if you get it wrong, you know, it's like saying, hey, what do you want to eat tonight? You want pizza, you want this, you want that. Instead of saying, what do you got flavor for, spicy or sweet? You know, and then that drills down into the brain. But when you're guessing as to what might be wrong, you know, maybe you saw them holding their side. It could be cramps. It could be back pain. It could be other things. But I think when they ask you that, it's to see how acutely aware or cognizant you are of things that are going on in and around them, in their environment, at work, with their family. And it's that attention to detail that they're looking for, to see what you see, because sometimes, you know, we misrepresent ourselves, what we're feeling. We think it's one thing, and it could be totally another thing. You know, it happens a lot with our physical aspects. You know, you say, oh, I've got a headache. And sometimes it's as simple as someone needing their glasses or needing their vision checked. Other times it could be a sinus thing. So it's to see how acutely aware you are of that individual at that time, based on what you know in maybe even a short time that you've been around them. And that's just my guess, you know. And again, that's from my experiences. But yeah, You know, you could say, well, are you hurting? Are you doing this? Well, then it could be this, you know. You could say, let's Google it. You know, that's one thing. And they're like, that'll upset them because they want you to know them. So I think that's what it is just seeing what you know about them and what you put together with your own intelligence. So it can be tricky. Sometimes there may not be anything wrong and they're just putting you on the spot. So be careful, tread lightly.
I can relate to that. One of the things I absolutely loved about my parents' interaction was when mom was having a bad day. My dad immediately asking her which of my brothers pulled that last nerve around the block. And honestly, it was usually me, but he knew that and wanted to diffuse her thought process, which she did by immediately going from angry to protective of my brothers. Then she would laugh and say to him, "You know, for a fact, it was your daughter, not our daughter, but your daughter." This is the next one for you to take a crack at. What's your theory on why women need so many pillows on the bed? Bonus points if you can explain what they're for.
See, that's a tricky question. Nobody needs all those fucking pillows on the bed. They don't have, there's absolutely no fucking use to them. Somebody saw something in Better Homes and Gardens or Cosmopolitan Home and Garden. You know, unless it's a wedge pillow that they're using for intimacy, you know, to align the pelvis or some shit like that. Or somebody like me, that instead of a body pillow, I use two pillows. I think the idea is just to take a fucking bed space where they used to have stuffed animals, some kind of decoration thing. But it's generally to drive the fucking man insane. I can tell you that because when you make the bed, you got to align them a certain way. You know, it's got to be lined up so that the chakras or whatever the fuck it is for a room, you know, are totally aligned. It's complete bullshit because then you got to try and stack all these fucking things on the floor and then the animals come in and lay on them or chew on them or fucking wipe their asses on them. It drives me absolutely bonkers. But if that's what the wife wants, that's what the wife gets. Now, the way she did it, you know, with the matching sets, that looks good, but I do not see any practical use. You know, I have yet to ever see any female I've known, my sisters, my wife, anybody, actually use them for comfort, to lounge on. And I'm sure some do, you know, they stack them up so that they can lean into them. But not the decorative things. Those fucking things piss me off. I see no practical application for them other than take up fucking space. Maybe it's just a large dust cover, you know, keep shit off the head of the bed. I don't know. I don't see any use on them. So I guess on the bonus points, it's simply just to drive the fucking man crazy. Or, again, dust cover. I don't know. I haven't a clue.
I actually do prefer my stuffed pets and animals over pillows because they remind me of events, family history, or gifts. The pillows to me drive me nuts because in my mind it's additional clutter that has to be maintained for a visual effect. So let's see you tackle this next question. In your opinion, what percentage of women would choose flowers versus food delivery when they're upset? And why are you probably wrong?
Okay, no, that's a good question. I think from my personal experience when I used to piss off my ex-wives, maybe 1 to 2% would prefer the flowers because it's kind of like, you know, the olive branch or a peace offering, but a very small percentage. I think the majority of women would want something to eat, right? Because they can grind their teeth. They can imagine they're just chewing your ass or your nuts off or something of that magnitude. But, you know, different women have different appealing things to them. Like, you know, they may be sensory in the fact that the smell of the flowers calm them down. But to me, I don't think sending flowers for an apology is a good thing because usually flowers are presented at two different times, funerals and weddings. You know, and so, yeah, at a funeral, you know, it's the end of something. At a wedding, historically, flowers were used to cover up the smell from their bodies because it came out in the springtime. That's when the first time they could go. So I don't want them to think that their cooch stinks and that's why they're being presented. But you can give food and they're like grinding, right? You give them chocolate, dark chocolate. The magnesium helps them to relax. You get them ice cream. Hopefully they get a brain freeze and they forget what the fuck you pissed them off about. But if you're not the root cause of it, you know, this is in the assumption it's the man. It's myself or another male or partner. Sorry for all the lesbians out there. I'm not trying to, you know, slam you and not say partner. Shit. Not just lesbians, anybody gay. I don't know what transgender. I don't know. Is it still just a partner? Or, yeah. So let's just say that partner instead of wife, female, whatever. So the reason I'm probably wrong, maybe more people want something like a flower. I just don't think so, because then you have to maintain that fucker. Then it starts dying. The leaves drop off. The petals drop off. The fucking animals are chewing it. Excuse me. See, that got me choked up a little bit just thinking about it. But yeah, I don't think plants are a good thing to calm or relax somebody, because it's going to die. It's going to fade away. It's got to be maintained. I'm not saying some people won't maintain it. Maybe they like agriculture. Fuck, I don't know. That's a tough one. I could be wrong on every level, but I think a food-based item would be best, right? You get them carbs, you get them cheese, you know, like in the form of a pizza. It has like an opiate effect on the mind. Chocolate will relax them. So others may not have that because of dietary issues. Who the fuck knows? I think your best bet is to send food, not sweets, you know, because then it's got, oh, you're trying to make me fat. Well, fuck yeah, I like a big ass. You know, I joke about that with my wife. She's like, why do you keep putting this? Why do you keep? I'm just tell her, I said, make that big ass bigger. And she doesn't have a big ass. It's perfectly round, but just one of the things. But that's my affection. I want to spoil her and drive her nuts at the same time. You got to have balance in life, right? Positive, negative on a battery, positive, negative in life. So that's the best I can come up with. What do you got next, Edith? I'm going to stop now while I'm ahead, or while I think I'm ahead.
Just like a damn man, dancing around the subject. Anyways, let me ask you this. What's the most expensive thing you think women secretly want? And why is it just 30 minutes of uninterrupted silence?
Now that was slick. That was a slick question right there. The one thing in the world you cannot buy is time. You can't buy additional time. You can't buy past time. So silence is golden. You know, you've heard that before. And it has no real value because you can't pay for it. And again, it's not something you can ever recover. You know, with our environments being so cluttered with social media, work, family obligations, friends, things of that nature, the ability just to have silence and to, you know, emotionally and mentally recover from whatever they just came out of has a value that just can't be compared to anything else. You know, we can buy all kinds of like tangible items and foods and devices, and I mean, it's just endless list. But time it's invaluable. 30 minutes, you know, with no interruption, just to be able to kick back for a few seconds, not so much meditate, but to recover. I think that's probably one of the greatest gifts ever, you know. And then once they're finished, then they can come around and you could start saying, well, how was your day? How is this? What can I get for you? If it's that. And they may say, hey, just give me a little bit longer. And that would be one of the greatest gifts ever. Just the fact that they don't have to accommodate somebody else's desires and, you know, rambling, communication, things like that. Just to have that silence to recover from everything else. That's a good question. I think if we gave each other that, you know, I always say plan, prepare, communicate, and engage. But if you gave somebody the option just to sit back, read a book, look at TikToks, like my wife, you know, that's how she decompresses. She'll watch a TikTok. Now, I know there's visual and audible to it, but she's not having to, you know, respond to anything. That's probably one of the greatest gifts ever, you know, and on her days that she's off and she's got downtime, she's not really wanting to get out and travel. So that is a valuable gift. I mean, it costs you nothing and you can't purchase it. So great question. Really, really great question. You know, following up to that, you know, a lot of people think that it costs something every time you do something. And it really doesn't. You know, it's just what we think we have to do. And guys are probably some of the worst at that. 30 minutes of uninterrupted silence. Hey, give it to her. Give her an hour. Give her 2 hours. Good question, Edith. I'm sorry, that one just caught me off because it's incredibly intellectual, and, you know, it's just it's just a good thing. Something I was not anticipating with this line of question. So what do you got next?
I do just like Rhonda after I've taught all day, then work with the boys after school, then fed the family. I will then go to my cubby area and immerse myself in Audible books or watch videos on YouTube. So give me your feedback on these questions. As of 2023, there were nearly 4.5 million creators on OnlyFans. The first question is, why do you feel that this is such a popular venue for women to want to participate in? Secondly, what are some of the consequences?
Wow, that's a lot. I didn't even comprehend or even consider that there would be that many OnlyFans pages. You know, over the years since the pandemic, you've seen like teachers, law enforcement officers, female law enforcement officers, and others that either resigned or were fired from jobs because of having an OnlyFans page. So I really only thought maybe you're not gonna be stupid and say a couple of hundred. But you know, maybe a couple of thousand. I would never have thought millions. So whoever created that must have given women the feeling that it was a safe place to put content. I mean, I've not seen an OnlyFans page. I had previously during the pandemic. There was one creator that was all about body art. It was tattoos, piercings, things like that. But I guess it's taken, you know, if you see some of the news about some of the content providers, you know, having sex. And there was some lady that was famous on TikTok where she would go to like hostels, you know, around the world, you know, and hook up with people because they didn't, you know, have to go to like a hotel, give all their information, so they'd rent a room at a hostel. And they would film them engaging with men, women, groups, all kinds of things. So from what I've read, you know, from people being terminated, people resigning over their content being found. I think because it's a form of pornography, and my understanding is, you know, the people making money off of it, you see it on Instagram, TikTok, where they say, oh, so and so did corn videos and made like, you know, $2-3 million this year. So probably for, you know, getting validation or recognition, especially somebody that may have low self-esteem, not saying everybody, but it may be, you know, kind of a draw. So if they can get money based off their looks, that'll boost their morale, that'll boost their confidence because they're making money not even being with the individual, hypothetically, but because that person is paying them to see them. I would think on the second part, you know, the consequence of it, especially with the internet, it's going to be there forever. So you apply for a job and they have an IT person looking you up because, you know, they do background checks, they're doing all kinds of things these days. But like the teachers were found through their Instagram accounts because you have to get some kind of marketing out there. So when they're putting their name or their face, you know, back in the day, you could use Picasa from Google to search her face, right? And it would look through your images and stuff like that and find that individual. So there's other software out there too on the internet where you can upload a person's face and it will take you to every public, maybe even some private sites where you could find that individual. So they may be doing that. You know, they'll search and they'll find out you have this. So where you're applying for a job, maybe in an executive position or a teaching position or a public trust position. You could lose your job. You know, it could have consequences of you being reduced to where the only thing you could do now is to make the porn or, you know, do your OnlyFans page. And if nobody's paid to see it, you know, because as we're getting older, our bodies are going to change, our libidos are going to change. So I think they do it because they hear about the easy money, or maybe it's a secondary thing, you know, primarily like the teachers and I can't remember where the law enforcement officer was. It was somewhere up north. I think it was Detroit. I remember they were subsidizing their income because, like, a teacher gets paid while they're teaching, but then during the off time, having that additional income, or maybe, you know, just having something secondary coming in. So I think the allure was cash or the potential for cash. The consequence is being, you know, recognized later on because it's going to be on the internet forever. You know, people finding out, then it calls into question, you know, about your families, you know, things that you've done. Maybe it ends up like some strippers and prostitutes. You know, after a while, they get so I guess, inundated with people saying things and slandering them and harassing them, that it leads to drug and alcohol abuse. There's quite a bit of possibility for that, because once we become demoralized and we become numb to our environments, you know, we're looking for another sensation. But I can tell you, when I was in public safety back in the day, you know, strippers, exotic dancers, things like that in and around Atlanta during the Olympics, you know, off-duty officers would escort them to vehicles, bouncers, things of that nature. But a lot of them had drug and alcohol issues, you know. So I think the allure was the cash, maybe some recognition, maybe feeling appreciated, validated by people coming to their page. The consequences, people coming on there and saying hateful things, other women jabbing at them, you know, lowering their value or their, not true value, but just, you know, getting into that emotional side and causing stress and saying, oh, you slut, you whore, you're doing this. And they may not be doing anything other than posing nude. Who knows? Again, not having seen the content to be able to say what they're doing. You do know that, again, following on TikTok and Instagram, some people will talk about creators making a lot of money. That one creator that was traveling the world going to hostels and being thrown out because people recognized her and was like, well, we don't want you screwing our guests. We don't want porn being created in here, you know, bloodborne pathogens, things of that nature. You know, it's tough these days. People keep getting these influencers on social media saying, oh, you can make a lot of money. You can be recognized, appreciated, loved. And it's not true love. It's not true appreciation. It's just somebody looking at a minute through a piece of glass or plastic or cellular device at you and just sending money, you know, because they're lacking something. They don't have somebody in their life that they can give that attention to or something of that nature. But I think the consequences would be worse because, you know, a lot of criticism, a lot of people losing their jobs, especially once it gets found out. And, you know, simply later in life, you know, you may have kids that get on that. They'll say, hey, did you know your mom did this and that? Or your dad did this and that? I'm sure there's got to be males on OnlyFans. I'm not going to Google that or anything, but that's my answer. That's something, you know, we need to consider, especially with mental health. Why do they need that much money? You know, it's obvious better life or what they can possibly conceive would give them a better life. But I think a lot of it is just quick money. Don't have to go anywhere. I wouldn't know. You know, get a lot of fans. I'm doing that little finger air quote thing. But the consequences, I think, are, you know, pretty severe. The potential consequences are severe. You know, possible assault, things of that nature. Not just on your name and, you know, your family, but reputation, everything across the board. Good question. It's sad. Wow, it's sad that over four and a half million. That's a big number. That's a big number. All right, Edith, you blew me away with that one. What else have you got?
I was just as surprised as you when we saw not just in the massive numbers, but in the fact that great many content creators are college students, single mothers, nurses, and flight attendants. So after that question, and in your own opinion, what do you think are the top three needs of women?
Wow, Edith, that is a really good question. So probably the top things that I think women want, you know, is to be recognized. You know, not because of some stupid shit that's on like OnlyFans or something like that, but to be recognized that they're alive, they're tangible, they're worthy. You know, they have a contribution to make to society, to your life, to your family. So to be recognized for who they are, not what they are. Financial security. Financial security would be a huge thing. You know, because everything right now is in turmoil since the pandemic, the cost of things. Now, some go to the extreme, obviously. You know, they let influencers get into their mindset. And it's like they have to be part of the herd, wearing the right leather, having the right shoes on their hoof, whatever the fact is. I'm not comparing a woman to an animal. I'm looking at how society treats them. Oh, you're not going to be, you know, dressed to the nines if you don't have this, and you're not going to smell good if you don't have that. But recognition, you know, let's just recoup that recognition for who they are, not what they are. Financial security, and a lot of women that I know, you know, from both my wife, my sisters and stuff, is to have a male that's going to stand up, you know, that's going to take charge of those circumstances and times where they want that kind of influence. You know, they want somebody in charge. You know, women throughout the ages since the Industrial Revolution have had to do mother and father duties. A lot of single mothers out there, a lot of single fathers out there too. But it's to have, you know, a strong-backed, strong-willed person to support them, lead them, and guide them. Not tell them what to do, but, you know, just be that outside voice that, you know, helps them get motivated, helps them get that drive and determination to take on, you know, advanced tasks and things where you just need a little bit of extra support. So individualism, but with recognition for that, financial security, you know, and a stable relationship. It doesn't have to be a man. It could be a strong-willed woman or woman. But, you know, having members in the family that are gay and lesbian, you know, a lot of lesbian relationships don't make it. High divorce rate, things like that. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of it or talk about the LGBT community in a negative manner. But, you know, same as men, we want to be recognized. We want to, you know, be able to get through the day where somebody is compassionate and empathetic and caring, you know, if things go bad, shit goes wrong all the time. But we want somebody strong to stand beside us and say, I got your back. Great questions. I wish we could go more in depth. I know we had to change this because the original program would have taken about, what, 2-3 hours? But, yeah, for all of our listeners, you know, when you listen to the end of the show, go into the show notes and put down what you think or what you feel women want. All right, Edith, I appreciate it. And before, you know, I hand it off to you for closing, everybody, I just want you to remember, you can't reach any goal without communication with a partner. So, ladies, you know, if you feel like your man's struggling or to meet your things and can't find the clitoris or never gets it right when he orders your dinner, communicate. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you need. Don't assume we can read minds. If that was fucking true, we'd never have disagreements or fights. And guys, same thing. You know, tell your woman, hey, I like this, I like that. Don't be afraid to say something, you know, and be honest and open because you're worried about some type of repercussion or negative response. Just be prepared for both. You know, like I say, plan, prepare, communicate, and engage, with communication leading this line. You know, we're not here for a long time, so let's make it a good time while we can and go for longevity. Take care of one another. Love each other. You know, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. But what we all want, men and women, you know, nobody wants to be alone. But, you know, don't go into something that's going to be toxic or negative and hold on to that because you don't want that. Stand your ground. Stay with your principles. Be who you are. All right. Before Edith goes, let me just tell you, I love you. Thank you for listening. Please like, share, comment. You know, if you don't like it, let us know that too. Now get the fuck out of here, and Edith, you take over.
Thank you, Alan. And thanks to all of our subscribers, fans, and followers. While we are not currently the top-rated podcast on air, we are one of the best shows because of listeners like you sending your suggestions and input to us through the Diary of a Ballman 1968@gmail.com. The more we share and communicate, the better we all become. Our next show is called Sex or Sin and is a response-based show from questions submitted from listeners from around the globe. To see the updated map of our fans, go to the homepage at diaryofabaldman.com, then scroll the middle of the page where the map from the Global Connection Program is listed. Please take this moment to like, subscribe, or share the show to let us know how we are doing, as well as aid us in our journey. Thank you for listening and being a part of this endeavor of love. Or is it lust with Alan? Not our problem to carry. Cheers.
Alan Wolford has produced this podcast for entertainment purposes. Neither this nor any other podcast he produced constitute legal, medical, marital, sexual, or professional advice. The opinions and views presented by Alan are his own and do not reflect the views or opinions of employers, clients, family, Facebook groupies, promotional sponsors, or baby Jesus. Any health information shared or mentioned as an alternative does not create any patient-physician relationship or other professional relationship between the audience and the presenters. No person listening to any podcast podcast from this rocket surgeon should act or refrain from acting based on the content of a podcast without first seeking appropriate professional advice and or counseling. Nor shall the information be used to substitute for professional advice and counseling. As stated earlier, this show is for entertainment purposes, not how to lead or change your life. Do what is best for you or what your spouse approves of. Alan Wofford and all guests of the show expressly disclaim all liability relating to any actions taken or not taken based on any and all contents of this site.